Hello and good afternoon. This is Greek Music Express, brought to you by the Voice of Greece. Our imaginary train is driven by our sound engineer, Katerina Lyodi, and by myself, Hercules Kanon. Today, we'll be listening to poems of a great Greek poet set to music by the creme de la creme of Greek composers. In between the songs, we will be reading excerpts from the presentation speech by Anders Österling, permanent secretary of the Swedish Academy at the time, and the speech at the Nobel banquet at the City Hall in Stockholm by the poet himself. You see, our poet today is someone who won the Nobel Prize in Literature in 1963. Welcome on board Greek Music Express. Our destination, Yorgos Aferis.
Με τη πνοή τη πόθους και τη πάθος πήραμε τη ζωή μας λάθος κι αλλάξαμε με τη ζωή μας λάθος κι αλλάξαμε ζωή.
The presentation speech by the Swedish Academy representative starts as follows. This year's Nobel Prize in Literature has been awarded to the Greek poet Yorgos Aferis, who was born in 1900 at Smyrna, which he left at an early age to accompany his family to Athens. After the Greeks were driven out of Asia Minor and Aferis' hometown had gone up in flames, homelessness, ever the fate of an oppressed and scattered people, was to play a decisive role during his adult years in more ways than one. Aferis studied in Paris, then entered the diplomatic service, went into exile with the Free Greek government when Greece was occupied in 1941, and was moved about from country to country during the Second World War, when he served his country in Crete, in Cairo, in South Africa, in Turkey, and in the Middle East. After 6 years as ambassador in London, he retired last year and returned to Athens to devote himself entirely to his literary work.
Μέσα ας τις θαλάσσινες πηγές υπάρχει μια δίψα, υπάρχει μια αγάπη. Υπάρχει μια δίψα, υπάρχει μια αγάπη. Υπάρχει μια έκσταση. Όλα σκληράσαν τα κοκκίλια χωρίς να τα κρατήσεις μες στην παλάμη σου. Μέσα στις θαλασσινές πηγές.
Seferi's poetic production is not large, but because of the uniqueness of its thought and style and the beauty of its language, it has become a lasting symbol of all that is indestructible in the Hellenic affirmation of life. When reading Seferi's, we are forcibly reminded of a fact that is sometimes forgotten. Geographically, Greece is not only a peninsula, but also a world of water and foam, strewn with myriad islands, an ancient sea kingdom, the perilous and stormy home of the mariner. This Greece is the constant background of his poetry, in which it is conjured up as the vision of a grandeur both harsh and tender. Seferis does this with a language of rare subtlety, both rhythmical and metaphorical. It has rightly been said that he, better than anyone else, has interpreted the mystery of the stones, of the dead fragments of marble, and of the silent, smiling statues.
Κράτησα τη ζωή μου, κράτησα τη ζωή μου, ταξιδεύοντας ανάμεσα σε κίτρινα δέντρα. Κατά το πλάγιασμα της βροχής. Σιωπηλές πλαγιές φορτωμένες με τα φύλλα της οξιάς, τα μια ποτιά στην κορυφή τους βραδιάζει.
In his evocative poems, figures from ancient Greek mythology appear together with recent events in the Mediterranean's bloody theater of war. His poetry sometimes seems difficult to interpret, particularly because Seferis is reluctant to expose his inner self, preferring to hide behind the mask of anonymity. He often expresses his grief and bitterness through the medium of a central narrative figure, a kind of Odysseus, with features borrowed from the old seaman in the lost Smyrna of the poet's youth. But in his hollow voice is dramatized much of Greece's historical fatality, its shipwrecks and its rescues, its disasters and its valor. Technically, Seferis has received vital impulses from T.S. Eliot, but underneath, the tone is unmistakably his own, often carrying a broken echo of the music from an ancient Greek chorus.
Come on.
σηκωθούμε λίγο ψηλό.
Seferis once described himself, "I'm a monotonous and obstinate man who for 20 years has not ceased to say the same things over and over again." There's perhaps some truth in this description, but one must remember that the message he feels bound to convey is inseparable from the intellectual life of his generation as it finds itself confronted with ancient Greek civilization, a heritage that presents a formidable challenge to the impoverished heir. In one of his most significant poems, Seferis describes a dream in which a marble head, too heavy for his arms, yet impossible to push aside, fell upon him at the moment of awakening. It is in this state of mind that he sings the praise of the dead, for only communication with the dead, conversing on their asphodel meadows, can bring to the living a hope of peace, confidence, and justice.
And
But Seferis animates this background of melancholy resignation with eloquent joy inspired in him by his country's mountainous islands, with their whitewashed houses rising in terraces above an azure sea, a harmony of colors that we find again in the Greek flag. In concluding this brief presentation, I should like to add that the prize has been awarded to Seferis for his eminent lyrical writing, inspired by a deep feeling for the Hellenic world of culture.
Ποιος άκουσε κατά με σήμερα το σύρσιμο του μαχαιριού στην άγκονο πέτρα? Ποιος καβαλάρης ήρθε με το προσάναμα και το δαυλό? Κάθε να σβήνει τα χέρια του και τα δροσίζει. Ξεκύλιασε τη γυναίκα, το βρέφος και το σπίτι. Ένοχος δεν υπάρχει καπνός. Και ποιος ξεκύλιασε τη γυναίκα, το βρέφος και το σπίτι. Έφυγε χτυπώντας πέταλα στις πλάκες. Κατάργησαν τα μάτια τους τη δυνή. Μάρτυρες δεν υπάρχουν πια για τίποτε. Άκουσε κατά με σήμερα το σύρσιμο του μαχαιριού στην άγωνο πέτρα. Ποιος καβαλάρης ήρθε με το προσάναμα και το δαυλό? Κάθε να σβήνει τα χέρια του και τα δροσίζει.
Ποιος άκουσε κατά με σήμερα το σύρσιμο του μαχαιριού στην άγωνο πέτρα? Ποιος καβαλάρης ήρθε με το προσάναμα και το δαυλό? Κάθε να σβήνει τα χέρια του και να δροσίσει.
Let's hear now what Seferis had to say at his Nobel banquet speech. I belong to a small country, a rocky promontory in the Mediterranean. It has nothing to distinguish it but the efforts of its people, the sea and the light of the sun. It is a small country, but its tradition is immense and has been handed down through the centuries without interruption. The Greek language has never ceased to be spoken. It has undergone the changes that all living things experience, but there has never been a gap. This tradition is characterized by love of the human. Justice is its norm. In the tightly organized classical tragedies, the man who exceeds his measure is punished by the Erinyes, and this norm of justice holds even in the realm of nature. Helios will not overstep his measure, says Heraclitus, otherwise the Erinyes, the ministers of justice, will find him out. A modern scientist might profit by pondering this aphorism of the Ionian philosopher.
Thank you. σου φέρνω κολωνάρια και τραγουδώ. Τα σκορπισμένα κλωνά αργιά. Τα πόδια μου δεν πάτησαν άλλη φορά το δρόμο ακούτο. Τα πόδια μου δεν πάτησαν άλλη φορά. Δάκρυα σου φέρνω και τραγουδώ. Δάκρυα σκορπισμένα. Η ομορφιά σου είναι πληγή στο πλευρό, πλευρό του κόσμου. Η ομορφιά σου είναι πληγή στο πλευρό, πλευρό του κόσμου. Αίμα σου φέρνω και τραγουδώ. Σκορπισμένο. Η ομορφιά σου είναι πληγή στο πλευρό, πλευρό του κόσμου. Η ομορφιά σου είναι πληγή στο πλευρό, πλευρό του κόσμου. Αίμα σου φέρνω και τραγουδώ. Και τραγουδώ το αίμα το σκορπισμένο.
I am moved by the realization that the sense of justice penetrated the Greek mind to such an extent that it became a law of the physical world. One of my masters exclaimed at the beginning of the last century, "We are lost because we have been unjust." He was an unlettered man who did not learn to write until the age of 35. But in the Greece of our day, the oral tradition goes back as far as the written tradition, and so does poetry. I find it significant that Sweden wishes to honor not only this poetry, but poetry in general, even when it originates in a small people. For I think that poetry is necessary to this modern world in which we are afflicted by fear and disquiet. Poetry has its roots in human breath, and what would we be if our breath were diminished? Poetry is an act of confidence, and who knows whether our unease is not due to a lack of confidence?
Thank you. αξίζει. Κι ο ίσιος μένει στενός κάτω απ' τα κυπαρίσια.
Αχ, να ήταν η ζωή μα μασίσια πως θα την περνάμε κατόπι. Μα αλλιώς η μοίρα το βουλήθη πρέπει να στρίψει σε μια κόκκι. Τάχα, παρηγοριά θα βρούμε ημέρα φόρεσε τη νύχτα. Όλα είναι νύχτα, όλα είναι νύχτα, κάτι θα βρούμε ζήτα ζήτα. Πέστηστο με ένα γιουκαλίλι, γκρινιάζει κάποιος φωνογραφός. Πες μου ή να της πω Χριστέ μου, τώρα συνήθισα μονάχος.
Last year, around this table, it was said that there is an enormous difference between the discoveries of modern science and those of literature, but little difference between modern and Greek dramas. Indeed, the behavior of human beings does not seem to have changed, and I should add that today we need to listen to that human voice which we call poetry, that voice which is constantly in danger of being extinguished through lack of love, but is always reborn. Threatened, it has always found a refuge. Denied, it has always instinctively taken root again in unexpected places. It recognizes no small nor large parts of the world. Its place is in the hearts of humans the world over. It has the charm of escaping from the vicious circle of custom.
Για το προσκύνημα τούτο κοιτάξαμε τα σπασμένα και είπαμε πως δε χάνεται η ζωή τόσο εύκολα, πως έχει ο θάνατος δρόμους ανεξερεύνητους και μια δική του δικαιοσύνη, πως όταν εμείς ορθεί στα πόδια μας πεθαίνουμε μέσα στην πέτρα, αδερφωμένη. Ενωμένη με τη σκληρότητα και την αδυναμία, η παλιά ξεφύγαν απ' το κύκλο και αναστήθηκαν.
In our gradually shrinking world, everyone is in need of all the others. We must look for human wherever we can find it. When on his way to Thebes, Oedipus encountered the Sphinx, his answer to its riddle was human. That simple word destroyed the monster. We have many monsters to destroy. Let us think of the answer of Oedipus.
κοιμούμαι και η καρδιά μου ξαγρυπνά. Κοιμούμαι και η καρδιά μου ξαγρυπνά. Κοιτάζει τα άστρα στον ουρανό. Κοιτάζει τα άστρα στον ουρανό. Και το διάκι και πως ανθοβολά, και πως ανθοβολά το νερό στο τιμόνι, και πως ανθοβολά, και πως ανθοβολά το νερό στο τιμόνι. Ξαγρυπνά, κοιμούμαι και η καρδιά μου ξαγρυπνά. Κοιτάζει τα άστρα στον ουρανό. Κοιτάζει τα άστρα στον ουρανό. Και το διάκι και πως ανθοβολά. Ξαγρυπνά, κοιμούμαι και η καρδιά μου ξαγρυπνά.
Γιώργος Σεφέρης won the Nobel Prize in Literature in 1963, and today we have been reading extensive excerpts from the presentation speech by Anders Österling, permanent secretary of the Swedish Academy at the time, and from the Nobel banquet speech by Seferis himself at the City Hall in Stockholm. In parallel, we have been listening to poems by Seferis set to music by Greek composers. We started with Mikis Theodorakis and his works Epiphania and Mythistorima, continued with Yannis Markopoulos and his album Stratis Thalassinos, and then it was time for Dimos Moutsis and his magnum opus titled Tetralogia. The last two songs that we listened to were Seferis poems set to music by composer Ilias Andriopoulos. And the same goes for our next pick, Agia Napa 2, performed by Nena Veneziano.
Ανάσα της ψυχής, ανοίξαμε το κόρφο μας. Έλα να πεις, έλα να πεις από τον πόθο μας. Έλα να πεις, έλα να πεις. Από το πόθο μας. αγέρα σκόθη και έφυγε κατά τα κάστρα του βοριά και δεν μας έγιξε. Σε το λίχνο σου και βρες φιλιά και βρες μονιά, κρύψε το λίχνο σου.
This was the story of Yorgos Seferis and poems set to music by the greatest Greek composers, but I'm afraid that today's journey in his art has come to an end. It is time to kiss you goodbye with one more of his poems set to music by Stavros Kouyoumdzis, titled I Am Sorry. From our sound engineer, Katerina Lyodi, and from me, Hercules Economou, peace and love, and keep believing in the miracle of Greek music.
Να περάσει ένα απλά τίποτα.